The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Happy New Year! How about two sober dudes? Did you see Midnight last night?
Did I what?
Did you see Midnight last night?
With the backside of my eyelids, I did.
You know what? I went down and saw a very disappointing UAB basketball game yesterday. We can talk a little bit about that.
I was there.
I know. I saw you across the court. Thanks for the great seats, by the way. I was sitting right next to your lovely coach's wife. She gets after it, man. I love her passion for the program. Yeah. I love the fact she supports Andy. I'm sitting there watching that game, and then I got home like at 7:30. I was with my son. I dropped him off, and I worked like every year for like 35 years. So we used to do stuff down at the Civic Complex. We had you love this. We had Foxy Fats. A Beatles cover band and okay. Atlanta Rhythm Section. That was our lineup of bands for 3 years straight, man.
Wow.
I mean, Atlanta Rhythm Section playing Champagne Jam at midnight in the atrium at the Civic Complex. It was super cool. I mean, that's when radio was cool and we were willing to spend $20,000 to bring Atlanta Rhythm Section. It was awesome. Them playing Spooky at 1 o'clock in the morning was just fantastic. You know, I'm on the point now where I went inside Publix when I dropped my son off, got me a large scoop of Palooza chocolate with some type of fudge swirl thing from Ben and Jerry's, the extra large thing. I thought I'm going to skip dinner tonight. Did to have a hot dog, a $4 hot dog, by the way. Thank you very much, UAB. It's not $12. It's not $13. It's $4 for a stinking hot dog, which is what it should be. It's great. Me and my son ate for both of us for $23. It was wonderful. I get home and I'm sitting there watching, and I start watching, obviously the Michigan or the Miami and Ohio State game, the Michigan
game.
Were great. There were some great games yesterday. It was just a high flight. The Duke game was fantastic. Arizona State. And for some reason, normally I'm just out by like 9:30, 10 o'clock, and I could not fall asleep. And I thought, well, and then next thing you know, I hear fireworks in the neighborhood. So I just stayed up. About 12:30, I took a shower, went to bed. So I actually saw midnight for the first time in forever. I'm glad I could share that story with you.
Well, the best New Year's I think that I recall was my wife and I went to Nashville with some friends, and there was this, I was trying to describe this yesterday to one of my kids. It was like this warehouse. I don't even know where it was, the Gulch maybe. There was this warehouse and you could go into these different rooms and there was a different band in each room.
Yeah.
And we watched a Neil Diamond tribute band. Mm. It was fantastic.
Is this the one the movie's about?
Maybe. I don't know.
The new movie's out. The new movie, Song Sung Blues.
I've seen the commercial trailer for it. I don't know if it's about that guy or not, but it was really good. It
probably is. There's only one tribute band, so you need to probably watch that film. I actually thought there was an autobiographical movie about Neil Diamond, but it's actually about a band that played Neil Diamond. And they're still playing, by the way. They're still doing their thing.
Yeah, it might be the guy. I mean, it was fabulous and they were fun. And what was also fun is, you know, he's older than the era of people that were at this particular show. We were young and everybody was kind of our age, call it mid-20s. And but everybody knew every word, you know, because our parents listened to it, you know. So, yeah, it was fun. They were really good.
Yeah, I mean, because of Sweet Caroline, everyone knows Neil Diamond.
Right.
Music, whether they do or not. And, of course, then we had the Penn State Sandusky thing. Next thing you know, people stopped playing it because it had the words touching you, touching me, which was absolutely ridiculous. And thank goodness we got away from that and brought some of that back and were saying it. But it's like, come on, man, what are we doing here?
Now, you know, we had to ban that song during the pandemic. At our sporting events, we said we've had to temporarily postpone playing.
Because it says touching you, touching me.
Because there cannot be any reaching out, touching me or touching you.
These college kids, they're smarter than that, aren't they? Don't they know better? What are they doing at a basketball game anyway? I can't believe I was talking to my son. We're living in such a weird time with AI and everything. And it's just, you know, in the last decade, we've had the internet and cell phones and all this still life-changing stuff, not like supplemental stuff, life-changing stuff, stuff that changes the way we live and the way we act and we had to respond and stuff. And I'm like, can you believe a few years ago, we had to cancel March Madness? And he's like, you know, he's like, you know what, Dad? He goes, I remember the moment I heard they were canceling March Madness, and I actually felt like I was in a different realm. Like I was in a different time zone or in a wormhole or something, because I remember that. I think there's no way they can cancel March Madness.
I remember
right?
telling people that they wouldn't. I remember saying that's never going to happen.
It's impossible.
That's not happening.
Yeah, but it did. And we lived and we made it through. So, well, happy New Year to you. Yeah, I saw that UAB game yesterday. Really disappointed. Anybody watch the Wichita State Shockers?
Played a great first half.
Oh, well, they shot 53%. Yeah, I, you know, listen, they weren't going to keep it up. I mean, they shot 53% and they only had one turnover. And quite frankly, they got up by 17 at one point. I told my son, I said, you know, up by 15 at halftime, I'd feel pretty good about that. I think it was 11 or 13, something like that.
13.
They went on that little run there at the beginning of the second half where UAB didn't score. And we just missed shots. Like we missed our first four shots. I mean, Meyer missed one right in the lane. Your point guard missed one. Westry was off all day yesterday. I don't know what was going on with him. Every time he went under the hoop, he put his hands up like he was getting fouled, and they weren't calling anything on anyone around him. That Berg kid was an iceberg.
The kid is 7'2". I mean, his chin was above everybody we had.
A monster guy. And I'm surprised they didn't go into him more, because he actually was pretty light on his feet under the bucket. But so anyway, you get the loss. You're 9-5 on the season, and that would have been a nice win. But I always question, you know, when you're going to call timeout. So people don't realize there's an under 16, 12, 8, 4 for television. So you're going to get those timeouts. And if you can not use a timeout, you know, in lieu of that, much like a 2-minute timeout in college football, you do that. And once they lost the lead, UAB, just for people who didn't see the game or hear about it, held the lead for the first 37 minutes of the game, something like that. I don't think Wichita State got a lead until like about 2 minutes left in the ball game.
About 2.5 minutes.
It was on a foul. They started calling all kinds of ticky tack crap.
They got up by about 4 right real quick, and I thought, oh man.
We came back, got a 3-pointer, and then you know I was a little surprised.
And then they answered.
Yeah.
We hit a 3 to cut it to 1.
That point guard, too, that went for 28. He had a career high or whatever, 26, 28.
He had 8 3-pointers. He averages 3. He had 8.
And 4 or 5 of those were in the second half, and he was wide open. They were just great, crisp screens where he got open. And I'm like, how is this guy so open? He's quick. He's fast. He was good. And that's the other thing is I thought UAB's defense played lights out in the first half. I thought that was fantastic. Yeah. They had the Berg held down pretty well. They were missing shots, and to UAB's credit, I think they had 12 assists at halftime. It's like Andy Kennedy. Don't I have all these numbers in my head? I think they had 12 assists in the first half, which is UAB needs assists. They need assists. And there were several times the point guard came down into the paint and decided to go ahead and just throw the ball up 5 or 6 seconds into the shot clock, and it clanged off the back. And I'm like, man, throw that ball into, because the paint was open. The store was open all day long. And so anyway, next home game coming up on was the 7th against Florida Atlantic, I believe.
Yeah, we got a little space. We got to go down to Tampa this weekend. So,
Get down there and support your Blazers. And nice crowd, by the way, yesterday. I wasn't sure what
it was. A really good crowd. It was a great, really good crowd.
Great crowd.
And school was in session and we had students there, man. There were still 53 students, which is funny to me, but it was a really good crowd. Appreciate everybody coming out.
It was really good. It was fun. And Santo and I always enjoy our stay. We wish we would see it in winter, but it is what it is. Before we get into the games today, it is New Year's Day, so we can do whatever the heck we want. We don't take days off at Tony Career Radio because people are always listening in. Of course, they live the UAB director's chair with Mark Ingram. This is a show we do every single week. Your thoughts on Ohio State? Listen, there's two guys talking college football. Ohio State. Okay. Miami yesterday. I thought it was interesting. Yeah, that line was 9.5. You know, I do a couple of gambling things out there, and that line dropped down to 7 about 2 hours before tip, which meant everyone was spending money on Miami. I really liked the +10. I thought 7 was a little low. But wow, I don't know if they just watched that Indiana tape over and over and over again, but what happened to Ohio State's offense? They've scored, 24 points their last two ball games.
I think they were rated the number one defense in the country, and Miami,
they were,
particularly in the first half, even though they only came away with 14 points. Remember, they fumbled on the 20 going in, I think on their second possession. And did they do it a second time? No, but they, but anyway, they fumbled, and then did they miss a field goal before the half? I think I missed that.
Mm-hmm.
But some anyway, instead of being up 17 or potentially, you know, what could have been 28 points had they not fumbled on that second possession. But the point is, in the first half, man, Miami just kind of ran through that defense, and I was that was what surprised me is how Miami played offensively, because Carson Beck has been a bit inconsistent during the year. And again, couple that with Ohio State's defense, which has been magnificent. I just thought, boy, this is going to be tough. But Carson figured it out. They got themselves in sync. And I thought, again, what was surprising is they were really pushing Ohio State around, which is just not what I expected. I mean, the Miami offensive line was really pushing those guys around. They were just gashing them, running the football.
You play ball. And I mean, you know all about football. University of Tennessee grad. It used to be you always wanted to have, you know, equal number of passes with the run. You wanted to be well-balanced. I understood that. You know, if you were having to throw the ball 70% of the time, chances were you're going to win, although Washington State's made a living off doing stuff like that. But if you had a good running game and you could be successful at it, and I know that 100-yard mark is very crucial mark. I heard this stat yesterday that I had to make sure I go back and listen to it. When Oregon – by the way, they're ready to tip off against Texas Tech. We're live on our YouTube channel, by the way, but don't go away. You can watch our show is only 15, 20 minutes long, so continue to watch us here. But if Oregon rushes for 100 yards or more, they're 25-0 their last 25 games. When they don't rush for 100 yards, they're 0-2. So obviously they rush for, and I saw that and Texas Tech, is number one in the country against the rush. They're only giving up 58 yards per ball game. So, does that still play? The game has changed so much since the last 15, 20 years, everything from the hurry up to just, it's all, the game has been turned on its head. Does that still play into, for a coach and for a former player like yourself, into logistics and how important it is to not only manage the run, but actually incorporate it into a game plan, particularly now in the year of the quarterback, where we have quarterbacks who can sling the football all over the place. You know, I still see Derrick Henry running the football for Baltimore. It seems like when he rushes for 100 yards, they win ball games. I know they have an MVP as a quarterback. He's banged up. They need him more now than ever. But do you see the same thing? Am I missing something? How important is the run in college football right now, I guess, is the question.
I mean, I think that coaches, you're going to get a different answer depending on who you ask. But I think most coaches would say a balanced offense is what they want to have. Most people would say that.
Is it because it opens the play option or
well, both of those things, if you can be effective at both, you know, they play off of each other. If you can throw it well, then it opens the defense up to make it the run more effective. If you appear as though you're just going to run it every play till they stop you, then obviously that.
And explain to people out there why that is, why it's important to have a successful run, what it does to the defense, and how it opens up the play option.
If you can run the ball well, then what happens is the safeties start walking up a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage. The linebackers play a step closer to the line of scrimmage. You know, the defensive package that you're going to see is built to stop the run. And then all of a sudden, if you've got some quick receivers that can find space, you know, you can go play action, which is fake the run and then throw it over the top or, you know, out into space. And so that's what that means.
We actually saw that work for Air Force, Georgia Tech, and some of these teams that never throw the football. Yeah. We actually saw it with Navy a lot this year with Horvath.
Right.
He was actually, I mean, a couple times he threw the ball more like 10 times a game. It was like, what? I mean, this guy, you know,
That's a good example, Navy, in that you just fully expect them to run the ball, triple option, triple option, triple option, you to death. So you start crowding the line of scrimmage to try to, you know, because when you think about it, you know, if you can get 3.5 yards of play, which is not very far, you know, if you can be like an expert, which they are, at gaining at least 3.5 yards, then all of a sudden you got to crowd the line of scrimmage to cut that down to 1.5 or 2 yards, or maybe get a tackle for a loss. And that's when they beat you. You crowd the front. And they let that tight end squirt out, and they just throw
we've
it
seen
over
that we've
him.
Seen we've seen that a little bit more on third and longs, I third and longs, six and seven. where they actually rush the football and it's successful because everyone just assumes that, you know, it's going to be, hold on. I got. Hey buddy, let me call you right back. I'm in the middle of a show. Okay. Thanks. I'll call you back 15, 20 minutes. All right, man. There you go. See, you don't know what's going to happen on New Year's Eve. That's a phone call I had to take. Hey, if someone's calling me on New Year's Day, dude, it's important.
I need you.
You got to chase somebody down, you know, for 2026 funds is what we're looking at. So let's talk about the other games going on. Again, Texas Tech, Oregon, do you have any take on that? Do you want to mention anything about that before we look on the
outline? Well, I'm amazed at how good Texas Tech is. They're fun to watch, and as is Oregon. I think that's going to be a really exciting game. And then, I think all the games today are great. I'm interested.
It is fantastic.
Yeah, Indiana, Alabama, I think have never played. I think I read that. So that's just fun that they've never played Indiana.
Well, and how about, you know, Indiana until this year was the most losingest program in college football, and Alabama was the winningest, or right there near the top with Michigan. Yeah. I mean, just to have those two teams and actually have Indiana favored by 7 over Alabama is – and I know people are going to hate this, but I think if Indiana plays like they did against – Ohio State, I think they may have the better part of Alabama all day long.
That's going to be a good football game. Yeah. I mean, if Bama plays the way they did against Oklahoma, then it's going to be a great game. And Indiana's a tough team to beat. They're fun to watch too, and it is fun to see teams like Indiana and Texas Tech in it, and Oregon back in it. Been out for a while. It's fun to see some different teams in it.
Who do you have in your national championship game?
Well, I really thought Ohio State could be that team. And then who's got the late game tonight?
Ole Miss, Georgia.
Ole Miss, Georgia.
That's a replay of
Georgia,
a game.
I think, is really good. It'd be exciting to see Ole Miss win, just given the fact that they lost their coach. It'd be fun for those kids to really be able to rally and play. Not because I prefer one over the other, but that just, you know, pull for those guys under a tough situation. I think Georgia's got a real good shot, though, of being in the finals. I thought that about Ohio State. I mean, again, if Bama plays the way they did against Oklahoma, I think Bama could definitely be there again. I thought they looked really good. You know, their quarterback some days looks razor sharp, and then some days he looks a little off. But, man, if he can play the way he did, you know, there were stretches during the year where he had like 17, 18 straight pass completions. Then he'd go like one incompletion, they'd go like 12 straight again. I mean, that's hard to do, man. That's hard to be that precise, and because you got to credit the receivers as well.
Sure.
I mean, there's a lot going on to be successful in the pass game. So anyway, if they play the way that they did against Oklahoma a couple more times, they could be in it as well.
Ole Miss and Georgia replay, obviously, the game back on October 18th, I think it was. They won 43-35 in a game that Georgia gave up a lot of points, and Ole Miss exposed them in the first half. They got up early on them, up 17. And I whoever wins that ball game, by the way, will get Miami in the next round. And Miami, again, is just that fly in the ointment, if you will, that if you want to call them a Cinderella, I guess you would, but that was the biggest ball game they played in over 20 years last night. And a lot of people aren't talking so much about their defense, but I'm with you on the Oregon game. I think is going to be fascinating. I got a chance to really watch Texas Tech in all of its glory against BYU in their Big 12 championship game. And they beat BYU again. And that defense is filthy good, but you know,
they're good.
You know, you can win, you know, they all saying you win championships with defense. I've seen that a lot more like than the team that with a high flying offense. I've seen teams with high flying offenses come in and fall flat on their face. They're lights out every single week. Unbelievable. Offensively speaking, and they play a good defense and they look like fools. But I've never seen a great defense play a high flying offense and get it handed to itself. They always figure it out. They figure it out. They may early end up missing some things, but they figure it out by the end of the 60 minutes.
Well, you have to score.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this was UAB the last 3 years. We could score. We couldn't stop anybody. We couldn't hardly slow anybody down.
Yeah.
You know, if you go back the last 3 years and look at how close we were a couple of times, where if we just could have stopped, you know, gotten a stop or two, not even prevented them from scoring, but slowed them down. We're in a very different situation than we are right now. We probably win in 6 or 8 games a year if you could just slow some people down, but we just hadn't been able to do that. And I think back to 1992, the Alabama Crimson Tide won the national title, mm-hmm. and they didn't score a lot of points, but had what was for a long time considered maybe the best defense ever.
Yeah, and it showed up in that national championship game. They were an 8-point dog in that game. Our good friend Antonio Langham made the wonderful play there at the end of the game, which really wasn't a play because there was a flag on it. But had he not stripped the ball and got the takeaway, it would have changed the face of that game. Yeah, that was my good friend Jay Barker, I think 6 of 17 for 50 something yards.
Yeah, I mean,
and they win by 20. You know what I mean? It's like, wow. But with a great defense like that, but it's the same team that beat La Tech, I think 13-10. They had a couple of really close ball games that year.
Yeah, they had a running back, Derek Lassick, who was good, not great. Mm-hmm. He was a good player. Jay obviously was a good player. I think we played him and lost by it was 17-14 or something like that. It was really, they had a lot of low scoring games, but their defense, what you mentioned, Langham, they had London, they had Jeremy Nunnally. They had some guys that were just outstanding on defense.
I remember being down there in the streets of New Orleans, man. The Miami fans were just in our faces the night of the game. And then, boy, the next day, you couldn't find one on the streets. They were just talking it up in my face. That was Gino Toretta, as a Heisman Trophy winner, and just in our
faces. Was that when they wore the camouflage?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, and, Keith Jackson, who loved the Big Ten, early on, Miami scores first, I believe, and Keith Jackson says the rout is on.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's where it ended.
Yeah.
And Alabama just took over.
Whoa, Nelly, for sure. All right. We'll see what happens, and we'll talk next week, the national championship game. We'll have another show before the national championship game, the Final Four going off today. I didn't want to ask you about this. First thing I do is I usually Google college sports, and I'll hit news and I'll see what pops up. And it's usually something about some lawsuits or NIL. I know the transfer portal, what is it, open tomorrow?
January 2nd.
That's tomorrow. So that's always fun. And I see Diego Pavia on there. It appears he is lowering up in order to play another year of college football, which would be his 7th in college football. I go back to the old days where a freshman never played. You got redshirted. You could only play 3 games or 2 games or whatever it was, and you could still redshirt. You'd come back, and you usually got 1 year. Maybe you got a health redshirt or some type of – the NCAA would sign you. Maybe you get 5 years, maybe. Now I'm watching the basketball game yesterday. Some guy from Wichita State is 26 years old. Some of the stories are kind of cool. Gino Toretta, we just mentioned he was 20, I believe he was 26, in that national championship game against Alabama back in 92 down there in New Orleans.
But didn't he play baseball or something first?
I think maybe he did.
Something like that.
Yeah. Anyway, he was one of those long line of Heisman Trophy winners who just didn't show up in a bowl game. That's why I wish they'd give away the Heisman Trophy after the bowl season's over. Anywho, he wants to play ball again. Now, it's not about just playing football. It's about making another year of revenue. Yeah. If I know that Diego Pavia, and I don't know what he's making, it's got to be over $1 million a year. Easy. It's got to be easily over $1 million. It may be $5-6 million a year.
It's a lot of dough.
He reminds me so much of Tim Tebow in the way that he looks, the way he reacts, the way he's built, the way he throws the football. He's a winner.
I don't think he's as big.
He's a winner. He looks like a muscle head. He's got that smile. Yeah, he's a winner. And even when Tim Tebow was winning football games in the National Football League, couldn't get a starting job. I think he was 7-3 as a starter for the Pittsburgh Steelers and still got benched.
You wonder, has he gotten some news that he's not
going to be first round guy? Yeah.
Or a draft pick at all.
Well, I know Nick Saban used to always, say, listen, if you can go in the top 5, go for it. I'd love for you to go. But anything outside the top 5, I mean, you know exactly what you're going to make now. So anything out of the top 5, the difference between 22 and 3 are millions of dollars. So yeah. Stick it out for another year. Of course, Arch Manning's going to have something to say about it. He was the preseason quarterback to win the Heisman Trophy. So you know he's going to be right there back. He's back again. He looked fantastic yesterday. 2 rushing touchdowns, 2 passing touchdowns, over 150 yards of rushing.
He needs a little more time in college.
He does. And he'll get some more Warby commercials, Warby Glass commercials, along with
Warby
Parkers. He's killing it. So, yeah. He wants to play another year. He's going to Vanderbilt. Smart kid. He knows that he's probably going to make he will make more money in college.
Yeah.
Than he will ever make in the pros, more than likely. And we're seeing more and more players now do that. So I don't fault him for wanting to do this. As an athletic director, what are your thoughts on a guy coming back for his seventh year? It's good for college football. I guess he comes back. He does bring a lot of eyeballs to the TV when he plays. I know a lot of people don't like him because he's so out there. He did the whole Heisman pose already this year, i.e. Desmond Howard, but it didn't pay off for him. But what's your thoughts as an athletic director at UAB and a guy want to come back? Obviously, if you had Diego on UAB, you'd want him to come back. But how do you think about it?
Well, yeah, I'm sure if he was on our team, we'd be doing everything we could to get the guy back. And, you know, it's nothing. What I'm about to say has nothing to do with the young man or his situation, but the NCAA, we as a governing body have lost control of a lot of things, and we're letting lawyers and sympathetic judges dictate how we manage our own. We have rules against all the stuff that frustrates coaches, fans, that media talks about. We have rules about all of it. But when you're constantly dealing with a lawsuit where somebody says it's unlawful, you can't say that, you can't do that, and they challenge every rule you have, it's a problem. So, you know, I don't know what Diego's claim is or why he thinks he should be permitted a seventh year. I don't know enough about the case, but at this point, it can't have anything to do with the pandemic. I guess it does.
It almost has to, does it not? Yeah.
But isn't that why he already got probably a sixth year?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Yeah. Should be interesting. We got time for one quick email, and I wanted to throw this in. Steven in Southside, big UAB fan. In lieu of what's happened at Ohio with the Bobcats in Michigan this year with improper relationships between coaches and or staff, he wants to know how often does that happen? And we just don't hear about it. The Michigan situation sounded like it was going on for a couple of years and no one did anything about it, which is kind of like, wow, I don't know how that plays out. I really don't know enough about the Ohio situation. Coach of the Bobcats was 8-4, went to a bowl game, had a very successful season and got fired with cause, and obviously didn't see any money, which really sucks in these days because, man, if you get fired even without cause, you're going to be walking away with a few million dollars. He's not. I'm sure he'll bounce back, i.e. Hugh Freeze, and probably end up coaching somewhere because good coaches will always come back. But is that something that happens a lot? Coaches having improper relationships?
Let's look at it like this. Any two adult people that are together a lot, there's a compatibility that you find in your workplace with your coworkers. And so I think that those opportunities exist regardless of what your job or career is, that people have to be disciplined in their life. Or if they're single, then, you know, there's a lot of companies that would say, hey, it's an improper relationship because one reports to the other or whatever. And then others might say, well, it's just unwise. You know, maybe it's not illegal, but boy, that's just unwise. Because what if the relationship goes sour and now you two work together and you got, you know. And so that's the problem. What this is obviously given the fact that the coach was married, complicates things and is another issue altogether. I don't think that, does it happen a lot? I mean, I don't know if it happens a lot, but I'm sure it happens. And I think the other thing is when you are in a position, again, regardless of your industry, where people are taking pictures of you, they want your autograph. You get all sorts of special treatment. You know, you got to keep your own personal ego in check too, a little bit, which is tough. And so, temptation from all sides is out there, whether it's a relationship with another person or alcohol or gambling, or, you know, those temptations are out there and sometimes difficult to manage.
All right. Inside question to Mark Ingram, then I'll let you go. I'm sitting there with the great seats yesterday, center court, and I see Andy Kennedy looking up at his wife.
Okay.
And he's mouthing something to her. He's like, hey, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, she's trying to figure it out. And he's telling her, and she goes, okay, fine. She puts her purse down. She goes down the stairs and she runs over to the dude, the heavyset guy with the beard. He's got a yellow street working sign on that says creative, UAB creative on the back of it.
Yeah,
I'm assuming he's doing their social media or something.
That's like social media stuff, yeah.
And she's sitting over there talking to him for like a good 10, 15 minutes, and I'm trying to figure out what they're doing, and then she comes back and she sits down. What was more likely happening there? What more likely happening? Andy, want to hear?
I didn't see that. Yeah. I didn't see that exchange.
He was looking right at her because he was looking above his team.
The game or during the game?
No, it was during the game. It was during a timeout. And I was like, wow. And I looked at Santo. I said, man, what do you think they're talking about? And once she goes, put her hands up. She goes, okay. And she ran back down, smiling. It was all good. It wasn't like an emergency type of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it says to me that they had talked about something was happening before the game. And before the game, they discussed that something was going to happen. And that he said, hey, this is that moment. But what it was, I don't know. I don't know. That's funny. Andy's a hilarious coach.
He is.
And
were you surprised you didn't call a timeout sooner towards the end of that ball game yesterday?
Some coaches like people to play through situations, yep.
And they had their number all day long. I like the idea. He's like, you guys got to figure it out. And when they hit the three to get back within one, I thought, okay, nice job not calling a timeout. But
right.
Yeah.
I think Andy's a great coach. While I sometimes have questions, I don't ever, there's a difference between having a question and questioning.
Yeah.
I don't question what he does. Sometimes I'm curious because I, like anybody else, I'm like, hey man, why did that happen? Or how did that happen? Or how did that decision get made? Not because I disagree with it, but I almost like learning. I'd like to know what was going through your mind.
Pat Dye always says hindsight's 50-50.
That's right.
There you have it. All right, my man. Happy New Year, brother. Thank you for taking the time out here in 2026. We'll continue to do the show as long as people keep listening, and they do in droves. We greatly appreciate UAB Nation getting in there and checking us out every single week here, UAB Director Chair. Is the Inferno thing still going on?
Yeah, man.
Okay. You want to tell people about that? I'm all about promoting whatever you're doing. I just want to make sure
you guys take care. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, we have another podcast that includes our coaches and sometimes our student athletes called The Inferno. And you can go to our website, uabsports.com, and you can click the link there for The Inferno podcast and check those shows out, too. They're a lot of fun.
There you go. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. Happy New Year. To give your family my love. I'll talk to you in a little bit.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.